there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, Stocking Stuffers. I'm Jeff Searcy.
Help me! Oh, I'm Jay Logsdon.
Oh, do you need me to send help to you, Jay?
No.
Okay,
good. In
fact,
don't.
I was really hoping you didn't need help. Because, of course, we're discussing 2026's Sam Raimi film, Send Help, on this Stocking Stuffer.
Real fast. I had trailers. I actually wrote down the trailers I had for Send Help. I guess before that, I was excited it was a new Sam Raimi movie. Like,
I was excited, yeah. I'm like, Sam Raimi does not make enough stuff. He's mostly a producer these days.
Yep.
So,
trailers though. You, Me, and Tuscany, which looked like a rom-com. I had some weird trailers. I had that one. I had Mandalorian and Grogu.
Yes, I had that.
I had the Zendaya Robert Pattinson movie.
Didn't have that.
And then I had Ready or Not 2.
Had that.
Which it's not out yet. I'm not gonna pass judgment, but boy, it looks like a lot of daylight fighting in this movie, and I'm like, I want my Ready or Not took place at night. Why the fuck are we doing daytime?
Have you heard the conspiracy theory that Red Letter Media has started, which I honestly, after reviewing it, believe is true? The Elijah Wood voice is an AI-generated voice in the Ready or Not 2 trailer that's just summarizing the plot. And you never actually see anybody's mouth move in the entire trailer.
It Interesting.
Cuts away before they speak. And it's like got a flat monotone through the entire thing.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch
it. You should go back and watch it.
And then had a trailer for the new Blumhouse movie Obsession.
Yes.
That looks that I didn't tell you anything about the movie.
It looks
that
good.
Looks nuts.
I like it. Maybe the Blum is back, Jay.
Yep. Maybe after a year's hiatus with
people keep saying it's like, oh, Blumhouse is dead. And it's like Blumhouse was never alive. There's good movies every once in a
yep.
while.
Yeah, occasionally they'll plop out a little good one for you.
Mostly it's just mediocre, but you know, every once in a while there's a good one.
When it started out, I was like, ooh, is this like a new Insidious or something? Because I think I've heard there's supposed to be a new Insidious this
year.
Oh,
of course there is.
But I was like, oh, is this a new Insidious? And then like for it to just go in the direction it went, I'm like, this looks nuts. I've gotta see what this is. Anyway, actual movie.
Did you have a trailer for Dracula?
No, I've still not seen a trailer for Dracula.
I must have had that instead of the Zendaya movie.
It had Michi and Robert Pattinson, and I don't know, it seemed weird. Maybe it's an A24 movie, so maybe...
I don't know.
Maybe there's going to be some kind of, like, there's something below the surface for what that movie's about. Because, like, it seemed very rom-commy, but I'm like, maybe there's something weird going on with Zendaya and the Batman.
Have I told you my wife's reaction to the A24 logo whenever she sees it now?
I think you mentioned this.
It's usually a heavy sigh. Followed by there's a 50-50 chance that's going to be garbage. And yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. All right. You want a general synopsis of Send Help?
I mean, you get it in the trailer. If you've seen the Send Help trailer.
Yeah, go watch the trailer.
You get basically the entire plot.
If you don't want to, lady and her boss get stuck on an island.
It's the typical unqualified boss, more qualified underling.
Can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah, I know, right? And she's not attractive, Jay, because she wears frumpy clothes, puts her hair in a messy bun, and wears glasses. But then when she's on the island, she looks like a supermodel.
Sure does.
And again, a regular man trapped on this island, Jay, would not have any problems coexisting with this woman, especially if she was into him.
I saw a joke that was. Oh no! If I was Rachel McAdams,
yeah.
If I was trapped on a movie on an island with Rachel McAdams, don't send help.
Exactly. No, I mean honestly, I mean let's get real for a second. She has survival skills, which she has survival skills from watching it on TV, which is dubious. But
I'll, read books.
I'll let it slide, that because reading and watching it is not the same as actually doing
but
it.
But at least, like, she's researched it.
She knows the basics, I guess, from reading and watching it or whatever. But if she had those skills, was as hot as she is, was so clearly into you and wanting to impress you back in the real world, how is this not a no-brainer? Okay, well, I guess we're living on this island now. We're Swiss Family Robinsoning this.
But yeah, I kind of split into pros and cons.
Okay, that's good.
Pros, I love the two leads. I thought they had great chemistry. Yes,
they were both good.
Really, really had a good, like, you could feel both, like, they were both good actors, and, like, you could feel, like, the begrudging respect kind of grow between them at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no real romantic chemistry. There's a weird thing at the end that I think is supposed to be, like, people manipulating each other, and it feels weird.
It's very weird.
But, yeah, like, there's no, like, I don't think there's any real, like, romantic chemistry between, but, like, you can feel, like, okay, these two people kind of hate each other.
Yes.
And they're both really good actors, but, like, it, that really, like, kind of, you can feel kind of like the admiration for each other kind of grow.
I respected the choice to not make either one of them, like, because there's a temptation in this to make, oh, you know, Rachel McAdams is good and everything she does is to help him or whatever. But no, she gets nasty at certain points, just like he does. And I think that makes the movie better.
The castration scene. We're just gonna,
yeah.
My wife said, she literally looked over at me and she's like, I don't think I've ever seen your mouth wider. And I was like, because I didn't think they were gonna do it.
Mm.
And they didn't, but
it was close.
It was close. And I was just like, are they really doing this? This is amazing. Another pro. I think a solid story and, like, a solid idea. You know, certainly everybody wants to kill their boss.
Yes.
Well,
and that's Triangle of Sadness 2022. I'm sure not a lot of people probably saw it because it is a foreign film. The devil. But it's got kind of a similar plot, except it's many more people stranded together. It's like a rich party yacht, and then the rich people get dumped on the island, and then their servants have to actually take care of them and teach them how to survive. And you got kind of that, you know, oh God, you know, we could just let these idiots die or whatever. We do all the actual work. But they kind of had that vibe to it. But I think it's more intense when it's just the two of you.
I was going to say, this is kind of a horror castaway. Kind of what it felt like to me.
Kind of, yeah.
With the don't go near the X as the big
the Lost.
Glaring arrow that points, hey, go check over here.
It's the Lost thing. Don't go in the bunker.
Yep. And then my last big pro, there were so many shots and so many moments that made me go, like I'm sitting there, I'm just like, oh yeah, this is a Sam Raimi movie.
This, I mean, it. You have down to the deadite jump scare lady that he puts in everything in the dream,
which that was one of my complaints. I actually didn't like that, but there were just so many shots where I'm just like, you can just feel the Sam Raimi.
It's unmistakably Sam Raimi. Yes,
like there were moments where I'm like, am I watching Evil Dead all of a sudden?
This, the only person who could get $43 million to make a movie like this would be Sam Raimi.
And speaking of the Sam Raimi-ness of it all, blink it, you'll miss it, Bruce Campbell cameo.
I mean, of course.
I knew he was going to be there.
He's always there.
And he is the shitty boss's dead dad. And there's a portrait on the wall that is very clearly Bruce Campbell. It is out of focus,
yes.
But it is very clearly Bruce Campbell.
I saw it. I mean, if you're looking for Bruce Campbell, you know what he looks like.
Yep. And so, like, when I saw that, I went, there he is. But yeah, that was a fun little moment. But onto the negative, certainly that jump scare was awful.
As its share of negatives, yes. Out of place, not good for that. Tonally, I think the movie has some issues because it goes from wanting you to have these big emotional moments to then doing, like, Looney Tunes style antics.
And there's weird moments where, like, you're like almost like Was I lied to? Is this not a horror movie?
Yes. No, you get that a lot. That's why I'm like, a lot of these movies, it seems like in the last few years, are really stretching the definition of horror for a lot of these things.
And then, you know, Sam Raimi's like, nah, it's still a horror movie. But check this shit out.
I like it. I like the zany stuff, but it's like mixing it so, because it's so often that you jump back and forth. Because it'll be like, oh, yes, we respect each other. We're getting a little bit there. And then there'll be a crazy Looney Tunes wacky fight scene. And oh, my God. The boar scene, Jay.
Oh, it looks so bad.
The boar.
I was going to bring so much bad CG. I have to think for Sam Raimi, the creator of the Evil Dead movies, creator of Army of Darkness, to have...
Even the Maguire Spider-Man movies.
Like, to have gone, you know what? I'm just going to go all out on CGI. There's going to be minimal practical stuff. It's all going to be CGI shit.
I don't understand it, because the budget for this kind of movie was high.
But it just, oh, it looked so, the CGI blood, CGI teeth.
I just want to put this in perspective for people. This was 4 times the budget of the average Blumhouse.
The makeup effects when the people get covered in blood,
yes,
look great. The cut on the shitty douchebag boss's leg,
yes,
looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. When Rachel McAdams gets covered in blood,
yeah,
looks great. But when the blood is covering her, it looks cartoony as shit.
Yes.
The boar looks cartoony as shit.
And I don't get it, because it's like the budget was high enough for them. And I mean, like, a boar attack, you could do practically. You just need a pig on a sliding rig. That's it.
Right. Like, it just, as it was going on, I was just like, oh, here's the bad CGI again. Like,
you think he's suffering from George Lucas syndrome? Is he getting too old and now he just wants to take the easy way out?
I was wondering that, or I was wondering if it was like, Sam Raimi strikes me as the kind of director who would be like, oh no, CGI is a tool to make my life easier. And like, instead of being like, but that's not why people like Sam Raimi movies. People don't watch Sam Raimi movies for a fuck ton of CGI. No. People watch Sam Raimi movies to see like
the crazy practical effects.
And like, yeah, I think there's some crazy CGI in the movies, but it's coming from like a place of love. And this just felt so like corporate horror movie, like CGI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was not impressed with the effects, especially coming from a guy like Sam Raimi.
Like, just really, yeah, just a real letdown.
Especially when compared to Iron Lung, the other movie that I saw, $3 million budget, amazing effects.
I will say, so I everything I know about Iron Lung is what you talked about when we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. What my coworker told me about when he said to me, like, Iron Lung, the new Mark Plyer movie. And I'm like, you say that like I'm supposed to know what those words mean.
I barely know who Mark Plyer is, although surprisingly solid actor.
But everything, my big thing, like, I can't really pass judgment on the movie. I've not seen it. The things I've seen though for the movie, he says, like, oh, this has more blood than any movie ever made. And while that may be true, blood that's just an ocean of blood,
yes,
does not count as a bloody movie.
I was going to say, I think that was one of his jokes, I think, is that, yes, it has the most blood ever, because it's literally a planetary ocean of blood.
Yeah, which is like, you don't gotta be the bloodiest
movie. It's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek kind of, yes, we're the bloodiest movie.
But I've also seen, like, the amount of, like, Mark Plyer fans who are like, this is the greatest movie ever. And I'm like, is it the greatest movie ever because you like the guy who made it?
I mean,
or is it legitimately?
I'm sure there is some of that fanboyism, but honestly, I think it is legitimately a really good movie. And this is coming from someone who does not know or give a shit about Markiplier. And I was hesitant about all the good reviews, because I'm like, he's a fucking YouTuber. Can he really act? Because he's like the main carry of the movie. And it's like, well, yeah, apparently he can actually act. And it's very Lovecraftian in its horror elements, especially like the, I don't want to spoil too much for Jay, but
I'm probably not going to see it.
If you know, as he's going mad from isolation and from the visions of whatever this creature is at the bottom of the ocean bombarding him, there's a scene where like the submarine starts melting around him And then it like reveals an outer. He thinks he's been sucked out of the submarine or whatever. And there's like these Cthulhu tentacles reaching up to kind of like wrap him and hug him into an embrace.
Okay.
I thought that was really well done. And I mean, on a $3 million budget, looks really good.
No, that's really cool.
And it's just, it was a solid, honestly, the closest thing I could compare it to probably would be like a Talk to Me style movie, where it's like these guys had a really good idea, executed it really well. Is it like groundbreaking? No, I wouldn't say so, but it's a surprisingly solid movie, and I would look forward to see what he would do with a bigger budget.
That's the thing, is like at the very least, like, tip your hat to a guy who went and made a thing. Like, sure, you know, would you and I be given $3 million to make a movie? No. Well, like, certainly having a YouTube following helps with that.
Yes.
And, you know, even if we were given $3 million to make a movie, would we make $27 million on it? I mean, probably not. But
I don't know, Jay. I actually want to talk to our good friend Mike Lombardo. If he's not busy, I have a project in mind for him.
You gotta wait for after Leprechaun. Who knows when that'll be. But there was just like, you know, you got to say like, hey, an indie film guy going and making like an indie horror movie
and
making money on it.
He spent mostly his own money on it. And so I respect that, because obviously if he didn't believe in the project, he would have just like, I did Kickstarter or whatever, and stole all your money. But he actually put his own money into it, put a lot of his own time into it. And I respect it. And I mean, honestly, that's the Talk to Me guys got their start on the internet.
Well, and it's like, but then it's like the amount of people who are like real indie filmmaking, and it's like, but indie shit comes out every year. Like, just because this YouTube guy you like made a movie. Like,
I think the reason that people are saying that is because a lot of studios now try to pass themselves off as indie. Like, A24 movies are not indie movies,
agreed.
Even though people say that they are. It's like, no, A24 is a production company. It's a studio movie. It's just they do things different than other studios.
Right.
And be like saying that Blumhouse movies are indie movies.
Oh, Jeff, I mean, nothing more indie than Megan 2.0.
I think people are confusing low budget with indie.
Yes.
Which is not the same thing.
But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those, like, that was a thing that like really bugged me, where I'm just like, I mean, but like, there's indie shit that comes out every year that like,
no, I mean, honestly, I think the Markiplier fan base would probably hurt the perception of the movie more.
That's what they've done for me. Like, but, if I'm being honest,
but no, if you check out the movie, I think you would like it. I mean, it doesn't have the best ending in the world, I would say, but I mean, a lot of movies' endings suck, so that's not really that big of a surprise.
That's the, if I get a chance, I'll go check it out. But yeah, it's been one of those where I'm just like, I don't know if I'll get a chance.
Like
to
I
see
said,
this movie.
I don't think it's going to like change your life or anything, but it's a really solid movie. With you could tell there was heart behind it. He believed in the project. He really acted the best that he could, and which is surprisingly good. Like I said, I was a little hesitant. I'm like, I've seen a few Markiplier videos floating around. I've seen some statements he's made. I'm like, you sure he could act in a horror movie?
I and also like I said, like the fan base really turned me off in the way they were acting about it, which, you know, that's bound to happen.
With
stuff. But and then it was someone like post like somehow. Like a video of him like begging people to go see the movie. And I'm just like, calm down. Like, your movie made $27 million. Calm down. You don't need to beg me to go see it.
Was that before or after he got his box office returns?
I think I saw it on like Sunday or Monday that I saw this video.
Yeah. I don't, like I said, I don't follow Markiplier online. I don't know who he is. I don't know what the hell's going on with that. I just went to see the movie.
But I was like, that felt really weird too, where I'm just like, calm down.
But yeah.
But anyway,
solid movie. You should check it out if you get the chance.
Yeah. And hopefully I do. I heard someone, liken it to Underwater.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Cthulhu alien movie.
Yeah. That kind of vibe to it. You got kind of an abyss vibe to it at certain points.
I remember when that trailer for Underwater came out, and I was like, we're just doing Alien but underwater.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't know if I want to see that. Like, no. I love Alien, but
that's
and then
the
someone
abyss,
and then right. Someone went, no, there's no Cthulhu's in it. And I went, all right, well, now I'm gonna go see Underwater.
No, Jay, the abyss is Alien Underwater.
But otherwise,
do you know the real ending to the abyss?
No.
The aliens flood the earth with tsunamis.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
Excellent. But back to Send Help. I I mean, of the three horror movies I've seen in theaters this year, of the three 2026 horror movies I've seen in theaters this year, and it's probably third, but that's...
Yeah.
That's, I mean, but I've only seen three.
I mean, honestly, I was hoping this movie would be better. I was hoping that, because I saw a lot of reviews from people I know and trust, and some review channels that I watch being like, yeah, it's pretty mediocre. I mean, it's fun to see Sam Raimi doing his Sam Raimi stuff again, but other than that, it's pretty generic.
I'd watch it again, but yeah, I don't think it does anything like fantastically new or different. I'd watch, and I think it'd be a movie where, like, throw it on, you could go do something.
Yeah.
But also I'd want to watch it again just to see if there's any more, if there's any like little clues.
Yeah.
Which I don't think there are.
I don't think there are either.
But it would be really interesting if there is something like
that. No, I'd say this is a movie you could probably watch a couple times, but I wouldn't say, if you don't go to the movies regularly, this isn't worth going to the movies for.
Unless you're a big Sam Raimi fan, if you want to go check it out.
I would say stream it when it comes out if you're interested.
Yeah, but yeah, like you know, not, and you know, and yeah, I've only seen three movies in three 2026 movies. This is the worst one, but don't worry, I'm sure it won't be the worst one by the time 2026 is over.
Well, certainly not, Jay, because Avengers Doomsday is coming out this year.
Oh, I was gonna say, my wife alerted me that live action Moana is coming out this year, and I'm gonna have to see that because I've got kids.
Oh boy.
And I can already tell you that's gonna be the worst movie of the
year. Oh boy. I don't know, Anakin Skywalker will return in Avengers Doomsday. The movie so bad they had to pay Robert Downey Jr. an extra $12 million to not leave it.
Guys, Robert, we fucked up.
And he was like, I will come back for $12 million if you rewrite the script. I was like, oh, that's always a great sign for a movie. And then, of course, they did the break glass in case of emergency Chris Evans reappearance.
We've got them all back, guys.
Except for Mark Ruffalo, who's been fired.
It's so stupid. I just, like I've said to you before, the Marvel movies just feel like homework at this point. Yes. Like, I remember going to the, like, when going to them was a fun thing to do.
I was going
to
say, do you remember when you were excited to see the next Marvel movie?
And now instead it's like,
it's been about a decade.
Yeah, and now instead I just go like, all right, it's okay. There's another Mar, and then just at a certain point, I went, I don't need to do this homework. I mean, I'm not a kid. I'm not a student.
All my favorite things have been wrapped up. Guardians is done. Those people are never coming back to do another one. What was the other big one that was good?
The last good one we saw was Deadpool Wolverine.
Yeah, that one was good.
Maybe I'll go see it just to find out why Thor was crying or whatever.
I honestly might just wait and stream it on Disney Plus.
All right, I'm probably going to wait and stream it on Disney Plus.
I just don't. I don't have the energy. Because you know what? Thunderbolts was good. And they felt
that's what I've heard.
They felt like it was going in a new direction or whatever. And then Thunderbolts didn't do that well, apparently. Not good enough for them. And they're like, fuck it. Original Avengers back.
Sounds like Marvel. Yeah. My biggest issue is the, like, for the Thunderbolts is like, maybe there's two superpowered people on the whole team, and otherwise everyone else is just like an enhanced human. Like,
that was kind of one of my issues with Thunderbolts. I liked it, but it's like, there is no credible way these people could fight the Sentry.
Right. You're looking at a Captain America ripoff, and another Captain America ripoff, and another Captain America ripoff, and
a Black Widow ripoff,
and is the Taskmaster person, were they a part of it?
Yes.
Okay, so a Taskmaster ripoff, and Ghost.
Yes, you described the team.
Yeah, and yeah, and they're gonna take down Sentry, who is kind of Marvel's answer to Superman.
I would argue he's, even when he's not having one of his mental breaks or whatever, he's even more powerful than Superman, I would say, because he doesn't have Superman's weakness to magic. But I don't know how we got onto this, but I am not looking forward to Avengers Doomsday. I wish they would stop making these movies.
Yeah, we're talking about movies that we're not going to like in 2026. Saying that although Send Help is our least favorite so far, now, it's not going to be our least favorite. I don't even know that it will be our least favorite by the time, like, halfway through the year, like, for stocking stuffer movies. Like, I'm sure we will hit a bunch of stocking stuffer movies where we'll be like, oh, that was trash. Like,
you know what's going to be one of my favorite movies, Jay? Dracula. It's going to be out Friday.
Like I said to you, we're gonna walk into the theater playing Dracula Can Get Wet. I'm sorry and I regret,
but I'm making up for it. Honestly, I've seen the trailer. I thought it looked pretty good. I mean, I'm always down for Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm excited to check it out. I've literally got one chance to see it, and it's Friday during the day, because otherwise every showing near me is a late afternoon evening showing. So I've got one day to see it. So I'm going to go see it, and then we'll talk about it in 2 weeks.
All right.
Otherwise,
it's a D.
Otherwise, I don't know. Thanks for listening. We'll get in touch with us. Email horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Social media, all the places at horror4holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Do all the things. Leave the reviews. 5 stars, 0 stars if I could, so we know you're a real sicko. And you gotta be a real sicko if you're listening to the stocking stuffer.
Yeah, we know the real sickos listen to stocking stuffers. The stocking stuffers.
Yes, the stocking stuffers, Jay. Our stocking suffers.
Our fans do suffer when they listen to us. But listeners, check out Christmas Podcast Network. There's also, it's a great podcast over there. Talking about Christmas stuff most of the time. We're the ones that talk about weird shit sometimes.
I mean, yeah, we got a lot of airtime to fill though, Jay.
Yeah.
We don't want to burn through all our Christmas content right away.
Yeah. Otherwise we'll be freed from this curse. And then our souls can leave this mortal coil and escape into the ether.
No, thanks. I'm hanging on to this body as long as I can.
But otherwise, we'll see, next week for, hold on. I got to pull up the wheel.
He's doing the wheel.
I believe I got to double check.
I'm a wheel pervert. Spin that fucking wheel, Jay.
God damn it. Stupid Q app. I know what you did last Christmas.
Oh, that's a good one.
A group of estranged friends are lured to a secluded Christmas party at a remote home, but the reunion turns deadly when they realize they're being hunted by someone who knows their darkest holiday secret.
Ooh.
A cruel prank that ended in a boy's death last Christmas.
Fuck yeah.
So we'll check that out. Anyway, so next week, I know what you did last Christmas. Watch it on Tubi. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye.
You know what, audience? Why don't you wax it?
Wax on these! I don't know. I don't fucking know.